Today on Prophecy Unfolding, we will begin a series on current events as they set the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled, and we're going to be looking at the seal judgments over the next several weeks right here on Prophecy Unfolding. Well, we're so happy that you're with us as we focus on current events and how they are indeed setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. Well, let me take you for a moment to Revelation chapter 6. And we're going to be in Revelation 6 for several weeks, 9 p.m. again on VCY right here, FM. And we'll be looking at the sealed judgments. We're going to be looking at specific current events that are setting the stage for these events to take place. Take your Bibles, if you would, if you can. Of course, if you're driving, I suggest you don't do it. But let's take a look at Revelation chapter 6 and the first two verses. Now, we're talking about the first set of judgments that will take place in what is known as the seven-year tribulation period. How do we know about the length of this time? Well, we have to go back to Daniel chapter 9, and it lays it out in verses 24 to 27. But let's go to Revelation chapter 6 and see what is going to happen. The first major judgment that will take place in Revelation chapter 6, verse 1. Now I saw, the Apostle John says, when the Lamb, Jesus Christ, opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. Well, folks, as we take a look at this very, very troubling passage of the major events that will take place in the future, we are going to pause here, as we always do on Prophecy Unfolding, take a look at what is taking place in our world today that will be setting the stage for, if you will, the first horse of the four horses of the apocalypse, spoken of in Revelation chapter 6, to come to fulfillment. Now, by the way, I'm going to tip my hat just a little bit. We're going to come back to Revelation 6 after we go through a few of the current events taking place. This Revelation chapter 6, this person riding on this white horse showing a conquering attitude is none other than the Antichrist. We're going to back that up as we go through these things this evening. But let's pause for a moment. I want to bring you in, there's a great website out there called conflicts2022.crisisgroup.org, conflicts2022.crisisgroup.org. Now, what we're going to be looking at are what is taking place that should be grabbing our attention about things that are going to be taking place in the future. What are people looking for? If I ask that question, what do you want to see from the government? What does every single person around the world want to see from their government? What is the most important thing to you? Now, maybe in your mind you're saying, well, how about more money? How about better jobs? How about better whatever comes to your mind that would help you in your daily walk? Let's go back to the root reason government exists. If we go back to Genesis chapter 9 after the flood, God made it very clear that there should be an institution known as the government. Why did God institute government? Well, folks, it's not the reasons that most of us understand that what government does today. Government was designed by God. Here you go. Are you ready? To protect the people. Protect them. In other words, government was designed that if someone commits a crime, good, honoring, God-fearing people would have a recourse. In other words, the literal thing that came out in Genesis 9 was regarding murder. That's the first thing that comes to mind. If someone murders someone else, they are to be held accountable. Now, back in Genesis, under the law, if someone murdered someone else and they were convicted of it, they were to be put to death. There's no question about it. Now, I know in today's society, in today's world, that's no longer the case, but the original, back in several thousands of years ago, God designed it. Listen, the punishment was, if you take someone's life, it sent a message to the community. You better not do that, because your life will be taken in exchange. But what's the basic point of government? God designed government to protect God-fearing people. And, of course, that has massively changed in our society today. Government is no longer what God designed it to be, as a protector of the people. Now it's social welfare, it's socialism, it's Marxism, it's around the world. So many different things that the governments have taken up on that literally have nothing to do with God's original design for what government should be doing. But let's talk about one of the key issues that we're going to look at. We're talking about the Antichrist coming on the scene in Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Why will the world embrace this person? Well, let's just take a look at one of the major issues that's taking place around the world, the globalistic picture. And we're going to look at, according to Crisis Group, again, this is conflicts2022.crisisgroup.org, 10 major conflicts to watch in 2022. Now, I'm going to read a couple of paragraphs here that should get our attention about what is taking place in our world today. Are you ready? Here we go. Battle deaths are down, but they tell just a fraction of the story. Yemen's conflict kills more people, mostly women and young children, due to starvation or preventable disease than violence. Millions of Ethiopians suffer acute food insecurity because of the country's civil war. Fighting involving Islamists elsewhere in Africa often doesn't entail thousands of deaths, but drives millions of people from their homes and causes humanitarian devastation. All right, folks, these are things that are setting the stage for needing a one-world dictator, a one-world government whereby these things can be brought under control. Peace. Listen, the most important thing to you, my dear friend, if you think at the root issue, what do you need more than anything else? Well, you need to survive. There's nothing more important than survival to a human being. We fight to live. We go to doctors. We take care of ourselves. We pamper our bodies the best we can. Why? Because survival is the ultimate thing when it comes to human nature. Now, if you're a Christian, you say, well, wait a second, the most important thing to me is serving Jesus Christ and loving him, and I would wholeheartedly agree with you. But if you're facing death, if you're facing destruction, if you're facing death through any means, you're going to do what you can to try and survive. At least most of us will. All right, let's go to another issue. Afghanistan's violence, which many of us are familiar with the withdrawal of American troops from Afghanistan and leaving the Taliban in control. Afghanistan's violence levels have sharply dropped since the Taliban seized power in August, but starvation caused mostly by Western policies could leave more Afghans dead, including millions of children, than past decades of fighting. Worldwide, the number of displaced people, most due to war, is at a record high. Battle deaths may be down, in other words, but suffering due to conflict is not. Folks, this is getting, again, back to the key statement. The world is going to be looking for someone. We're not just talking about those of us who live in America. Folks, we still, and I know there's a great deal of conflict right now in America. There's a great deal of political unrest. There's a great deal of conflict between various groups of politicians, but we're looking at a worldwide scenario where death is happening, millions of people starving to death due to conflicts. And what do people want? Well, of course, they want peace. Let's go to another level of this. Moreover, states compete fiercely even when they're not fighting directly. In other words, they may not be fighting with guns, knives, and tanks and weapons. What other type of events are taking place that need someone to come on the scene and bring peace? They do battle with cyber attacks, disinformation campaigns, election interference, economic coercion, and by instrumentalizing the migrants. Major and regional powers vie for influence, often through local allies in war zones. Proxy fighting has not so far sparked direct confrontation among meddling states. Indeed, some navigate the danger adeptly. Russia and Turkey maintain cordial relations despite backing competing sides in the Syrian and Libyan conflicts, and it goes on and on and on. Today's most dangerous flashpoints, whether Ukraine, Taiwan, or confrontations with Iran, relate in some way to the world struggling for a new equilibrium. Now let's just go to another thing that has had a massive effect that is going to be setting the stage for things to happen in the end times. Think about what we've been going through and still are going through and still having repercussions from is the massive things the governments around the world have done as relating to what? Well, here it comes, COVID-19. Now, regardless of whether you look at this from a perspective of many people say, well, it was just a planned hoax. Others are seriously affected by this. So there's definitely two sides to the coin here. We've seen many people, many of my friends, many of my mentors have died from COVID-19. Many of you know Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, who is one of my mentors and best friends, died from COVID-19. His partner, David James, died from COVID-19. I've buried multiple people that I love and care for that died, and there's no doubt about it, it was from the COVID-19 issue. So it definitely has had a horrible impact on many of us around the world. But let's take a look at this. We've got a pandemic. The CDC, the Center for Disease Control, basically fell on the sword a few weeks ago and said, you know, we just didn't do things right. We didn't respond correctly, and we need to be examined. Now, that's a major political statement, but why are all these things happening? Why are there wars taking place? Why is there starvation taking place? Why is the pandemic had worldwide attention? Why is all this happening? Just listen to this one statement. As for COVID-19, the pandemic has exacerbated the world's worst humanitarian disasters and propelled the impoverishment, rising living costs, inequality, and joblessness that fuel popular anger. Folks, all these things, all these terrible things that are taking place across the world, all the conflicts that are taking place are indeed setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. You say, how do you figure this? Folks, what are people looking for? Safety, security, peace. How can that happen under the current system? Just one more concept, and then we're going to go right to Revelation chapter 6, and the Bible gives us the answer. So when we're looking at conflicts, every person, unless you don't watch any news, Ukraine, the Russian-Ukraine conflict, Ethiopia, major place of conflict, Afghanistan, which most of you know if you watch the news, when the American troops withdrew from there, the Taliban picked up power, if you will. And by the way, let's say this, if you go to such organizations as Voice of the Martyrs and others, you'll find out that there has been tremendous persecution against God's people. So it may not be battle deaths like were taking place, but persecution, killing of God's people, other things, terrible humanitarian effects are taking place in Afghanistan. How about the issue with the United States and China? How about what we talked about last week, Nancy Pelosi's visit to Taiwan, which got China in a very, very upset state? How about Iran versus the United States and Israel? Yemen? How about Israeli people, the state of Israel, constantly under attack by Syria, Iran, Russia's getting into it, other nations that hate Israel? How about the issues in Haiti? How about Myanmar? How about the Islamic militancy in Africa? You say, Pastor Rich, Brother Rich, what is your point? Well, here's the point. Let's go to Revelation chapter 6 again. And what are we talking about? Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 says this. The Apostle John says, "Now I saw the Lamb, Jesus Christ, opening one of the seals." By the way, there's seven seal judgments spoken about in Revelation chapter 7. "And I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a loud voice like thunder." By the way, the four living creatures appear to be angelic beings. They sit around the throne of God. They worship Him. They serve Him. So they're sitting around the throne of God. Jesus Christ, the most powerful, if you will, God, because there are no other gods, takes the seals, he opens them, and he says, "And I looked, and behold, there was this white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquering." Well, who is this person? Well, let's go back to Revelation chapter 5 and set the stage for who this is. Again, this is after what we know as the rapture of the church, which could take place at any moment. Shortly after the rapture, a major event will take place where the Antichrist will confirm a peace treaty or a covenant with the Jewish people. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27. Well, this is talking about that very person in Revelation chapter 6. You see, with all the conflicts taking place, with all the horrible things that are taking place, with all the deaths that are taking place, with the starvation taking place, with terrorism taking place, with the national economy and the world economy falling to pieces as we speak, something needs to happen to get the entire world back on track, at least from a globalist perspective, not maybe a nationalist perspective, but what are people looking for? What is the world looking for? Someone who can get this world under control. Someone who has an unbelievable, let's call it a spiritualizing, mesmerizing, mystical appearance that just brings people to this person, to set this person up as the worldwide dictator. Well, in Revelation chapter 5, let's see how this unfolds. The Bible says in verse 1, "And I saw on the right hand of him who sat on the throne," who's sitting on the throne, "a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals." Well, we know without a shadow of a doubt who's sitting on the throne in heaven. Well, of course, God the Father is. "Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seal?'" You see, God is figuratively, realistically holding this scroll that has the seven seals on it, each one representing a major judgment. Verse 3, Revelation 5. The Bible says, "And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it." The Apostle John says, I cried, I got upset, I wanted to know what was inside the seals, I wanted to see what it was. And all of a sudden, in verse 6, Revelation 5, the Apostle John says, "And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne of the four living creatures," again, these angelic beings, "and the midst of the elders," which most conservative theologians believe represents the church age saints, "stood a lamb." Stood a lamb. Well, who's the lamb? Well, of course, the lamb is Jesus Christ, the suffering lamb, the suffering servant who went to the cross to pay for our sins. He was slaughtered, crucified, and of course was later resurrected. He said, "There stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. Then he," the Lamb, Jesus Christ, "came, took the scroll out of the right hand of him," God the Father, "who sat on the throne." So we open up this wonderful passage. We open up this terrifying passage about what's going to be taking place during the first part of that 7-year catastrophic tribulation period. And now we come to the punchline. The Bible says, I saw the Lamb. What does he do? Jesus Christ takes this, if you will, deed to the world. He begins to unseal this scroll that has these seven seal judgments. Now you say, well, as I recall, there's a lot of judgments in the book of Revelation. You're absolutely right. What are those major judgments? If you remember, as you go through the book of Revelation, and by the way, don't believe these individuals say, well, the book of Revelation is too hard to understand. It's too confusing. I strongly object to that. You see, every Christian needs to understand what's in the book of Revelation. It's actually not that difficult if you spend some time, read through it. And of course, we just did a series at Union Grove Baptist Church on the book of Revelation. I have 40 messages on it. That's about 40 hours of commentary, if you will. But you can listen to it if you go to Union Grove Baptist Church. You'll find it on our website. You can also go to sermonaudio.com, where all 40-plus messages are listed there under Union Grove Baptist Church or Dr. Rich Schmidt. Well, let's get back to the text, Revelation 6. The Bible says, listen, now Jesus comes. He takes the scroll from the Father's hand. And now what happens? And I heard one of the four living creatures saying, like a voice like thunder, come and see. This is the beginning of the tribulation judgments, made up of what? The seven seal judgments, the seven trumpet judgments, the seven thunder judgments in Revelation 10, which no one talks about usually. Why? Because God sealed up those seven judgments and didn't tell us what they were. So you have to use our imagination a little bit as to what could be coming. So we have the seals, the trumpets, the thunders, and then finally the last set, known as the bowl, or in the King James Version, the vial judgments. 28 different judgments. And we'll be going through those as you spend time with us right here on Prophecy Unfolding on Saturday nights as we go through this. All right, so let's look at this. Well, so what happens? The angel says, listen, would you come and see? Would you see what's going to take place? And now the unveiling of this major individual who will indeed have world power, according to Revelation 13. He said, and looked, and behold, a white horse. Now, what does a white horse represent? Well, it represents a powerful ruler. You see, when someone back in, if you heard of General Allenby, when they got a victory and so forth, what do? They ride into a city on what? A white horse. It's showing authority. It's showing victory. It's showing here is the one who has all the power, that's won the victory, if you will. And I looked and behold a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow. Now, isn't it interesting that it states that this person had a bow, but no arrows? What happened to the arrows? Well, there's a couple of speculative things regarding this. What could that mean? Well, it could mean two things. One, he basically took all the arrows out and already shot them and won the victory. Or, as most conservative scholars state when it comes to this, it's not referring to a military victory, but a political victory. How do we know that? Well, it states this, he had a bow. There's no arrows appears. Now, somehow this person is going to gain worldwide authority. Bible doesn't tell us how that's going to take place, but it's going to happen. And we know as we get in closer and closer to the midpoint of the tribulation period that Satan is going to do some marvelous works, if you will, deceiving works that will make this Antichrist even have a greater global influence. Did you catch that? A greater global influence. And I looked and behold a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow. And a crown. Now, folks, when do you get a crown? Well, who do you put crowns on? Well, you put crowns on kings. And in that first century, everyone was familiar with crowning the king. We still have, if you look to England and the Queen of England and so forth, what sits on the head? Well, a crown. And the Bible says about this individual, he went out conquering and to conquer. Now, some have stated, well, this must be Jesus Christ. No, it's not Jesus Christ. He's not returning until the end of the seven-year tribulation period when he comes back at his second coming. That doesn't happen until Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 to 21. What we have here is this world dictator, this satanically charged, horrible individual that's going to have worldwide authority, worldwide power, global power. Now, wait a second. Let's go back to the current events we just looked at. What's taking place across the world? Famine is taking place. Starvation is taking place. Murder is taking place. Persecution is taking place. If we went to Matthew chapter 24, the Olivet Discourse, when Jesus is talking about the things that will be taking place during that seven-year tribulation period, let's just go down to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 6. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Verse 7, Matthew 24, Jesus said, for nations shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. Verse 8, here's a key statement. All these are the beginning of sorrows. You see, these first seal judgments, when things are just starting to fall into place for that seven-year tribulation period, we're looking at the beginning of sorrows. The Bible makes it clear in the original, we're talking about the original birthing pains that will be taking place. In other words, the seal judgments are the least caustic. They're the least damaging. It's like a woman in labor. She starts out. It's not pleasant. It's not good. But she's feeling the contractions and the pain. And all of a sudden, as you get closer and closer and closer to when the baby's going to come, what happens? The contractions are closer together. They're stronger. They're more intense. And that's what God's saying here. Listen, the first piece of the seven-year tribulation is when the Antichrist comes on the scene and he will begin to set up the things for his worldwide system. Well, that is what absolutely is going to be taking place in the prophetic future. Have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you ever looked at Jesus and said, oh my, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve to go to heaven. But I want to go to heaven when I die, and Jesus paid it all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My friend, I trust you'll trust him today. Well, thanks again for being with us right here on Prophecy Unfolding.